I think the three I have selected are the most interesting and evidential of the dozen or so we took. A. 97 ectoplasm emanating from the medium taken in December 1948, in complete darkness, with a Kodak infrared plate. My mother is in deep trance sitting on a chair in the corner of the room, which, with the black curtain seen in photo B, formed the very simple cabinet which assisted the building process of the materialized spirit people. The ectoplasm is emanating from her mouth, and in this form it is quite transparent, very similar in appearance and texture to chiffon. I must admit that when my mother first saw this photograph, she was rather taken aback and somewhat queasy to think that this was happening to her whilst she was asleep. But it did not deter her from sitting for many years to come, 97 thus giving so much joy and pleasure to so many people, both here and in the spirit world. This photograph in particular clearly illustrates how much the medium places herself in the hands of the sitters and the paramount need for protection at such times. This I cannot stress too often. B. 97 fully materialized ectoplasmic spirit person taken in February 1948, in a subdued red light with a super-fast film and exposure time of 2 minutes. This is my aunt Ag, and as you can see, she stood perfectly still. The man to the left is my father, one of the sitters, and you can see from the double exposure that he actually moved during the 2 minutes. Also during the exposure time, we heard my mother moving on her chair behind the curtain. Aunt Ag then told us during her 5 or 6 minutes stay afterwards, that ma'am had been suspended in the opposite corner of the room looking down at Aunt Ag and had been trying to reach her, 97 hence the movement. She added that after the circle, ma'am would probably recall this experience, 97, and she did just that, during supper, when she suddenly said, 97 oh, I saw our Ag tonight, standing here by the fireplace, 97 pointing to the exact place. I was up there in that corner, she added, without any prompting from us, and pointed to the opposite corner which Aunt Ag had indicated previously. She looked just as she always was, 97 it was lovely. This had been a unique experience for my mother and she had obviously enjoyed it. You will observe differences in the texture of the ectoplasm, for example the face, the upper part of the robe, and the lower part, which is similar to photograph A. I usually moved across the room to greet our spirit friends and can assure you that the hands and faces were exactly the same as human flesh, 97 quite smooth and warm. All our visitors who shared this wonderful experience of embracing their loved ones always confirmed the naturalness of the materialized spirits, 97 nothing distasteful and certainly nothing to be afraid of. C. 97 manipulation of trumpet by means of ectoplasmic rod. Taken in December 1948, in complete darkness with a Kodak infrared plate, same as photo A. This shows the mechanics of trumpet voice phenomena on a cantilever principle. The ectoplasmic rod, so solid that you can clearly see the shadow behind it, emanates from the medium's mouth, as in A, and although the spirit people make use of the medium's voice box whilst she is in deep trance, their voices are all quite different, 97 as they were when here on the earth. The other end of the rod is attached to the smaller end of the trumpet, thus enabling the spirit people to move it around the room in mid-air. When they were speaking through the trumpet, it was usually suspended, perfectly still, about 5 feet from the floor in the center of the circle, 97 from which position we could normally hear their voices quite clearly. But when we had a visitor who was rather hard of hearing, the trumpet would be moved closer to that person. Another indication of the ever-present awareness of our spirit friends. D. 97 Some of the reports we received, a few examples of the hundreds of reports we received at our Saturday night sittings. In our early sittings they were usually found in the room after we closed, 97 small flowers having been dropped onto our knees and larger flowers often found on the hearth. Later, when we had full materialized spirit people, as in photo B, the reports were frequently handed to the recipient by the materialized spirits themselves. These examples, together with some others, are still in my possession, and these are recent photographs taken specifically for this publication by Alan Harrison, one of my sons. In the plastic envelopes are dried roses and carnations with three metallic items. 97A, a spiritualist Lyceum lapel badge with the picture of the founder Andrew Jackson Davis. This was brought by an old pioneer of the Middlesbrough Lyceum. 97MR, Charles Roeder when he materialized at our children's party sitting on 3rd of January 1948. 2. A Royal Artillery uniform button brought during our soldiers' night sitting on 8th of November, 1947, which was the nearest Saturday to Armistice Day. We always paid our respects by holding such a sitting at this time each year, when the majority of our spirit visitors were servicemen from both world wars. On this particular night, one of them was a youngster whom my father had befriended at his 97 Billy Earl. My father felt so emotionally moved by his tragic death at the age of 17. He decided when I was born in 1918 to remember young Billy by adding William to the family name of Thomas, 97, hence my name of Thomas William. 3. A damaged Queen Victoria penny dated 1864, a ported one Saturday evening from a box of old coins which I kept in a drawer at home, about half a mile away. I still have the box with all the other coins in it. E. 97 The to Indian, 97 style bells mentioned in the story of our Christmas party sitting in January 1954. The smaller one was ours with a broken prong. The larger one was the airport, which was certainly not in the room when we started the sitting but was there when we finished. Our Christmas party and the to Indian, 97 style bells during the Christmas and New Year period each year we held a special sitting which we called the Spirit Children's Party. Our own family Christmas tree was taken into the circle room and the decorations included many small toys such as dolls, cars, airplanes, bags of sweets etc. Every year we had a splendid evening with a happy party atmosphere and lots of activity by our spirit friends. Many of the presents were taken from the tree by the spirit children, not for themselves of course, but to leave at the homes of poor or deprived children on the earth. They told us that they simply dematerialized the toys, took them away and rematerialized them where they felt they were most needed. So simple to them, 97, but so effective, 97 and so appreciated by the recipients I am sure. Conversely, we often received small gifts like wrapped toffees which were reported into the room and dropped on our knees in the darkness during the sitting. Most interestingly, on one of these occasions Sidney examined the wrappers and was intrigued to note that, from his knowledge of the confectionery trade, these particular sweets were a brand not available in the Middlesbrough area. We were told at a later sitting that they had been imported from a large party in London and the few we had would not have been missed from the dozens of dishes around the room, but the party on 5th of January 1954 was a particularly memorable one in that a close friend of ours, Jim McKenzie, an electrical engineer, had arranged to record the whole sitting, 97, and I still have a copy of that tape which Mac played to hundreds of people at numerous public meetings in the Northeast. And herein lies the story of the to Indian, 97 style bells, photo E. I had the microphone and was giving a running commentary during the sitting. As usual, the first part was held in complete darkness for the trumpet phenomena, and it was during this period that we all heard the tinkling of a small bell. The only bell in that room, which was our children's playroom in our own home, was a small Indian style bell which stood on the mantelpiece. Our children played with it regularly and had in fact broken one of the prongs. On hearing the ringing, I immediately said that the spirit children were obviously enjoying themselves and ringing our bell. After a few moments the ringing stopped and there was a gentle plop on the carpet. I remarked that they had finished with the bell and dropped it on the carpet. A few moments later, however, the ringing started again and I well remember saying that they had fooled me and picked it up again. This time the ringing lasted a little longer and again there was the plop when it was dropped onto the carpet. At the end of the sitting, which lasted about 1.5 hours, we were all amazed when the room lights went on. There on the carpet in the middle of the room lay not one, 97 but two bells. Our own damaged bell was there, with a slightly larger one lying about 2 feet away from it. This larger one was in a port. Where I had assumed that they had picked up our bell, they had in fact brought into the sitting this second one, and had certainly fooled me, 97, but not in the way I had thought at the time. When we checked the tone of each bell there was a slight difference, but my untrained ear had failed to notice this during the sitting. It was, of course, very interesting to listen to the recording when we played it back during our supper after the sitting. The difference could be heard, but it is so slight that I am not surprised I had been fooled. I still have both these bells kept together in my box of memorabilia. The surface of our original one with the broken prong has gradually tarnished 97, as would be expected. But not so with the apported bell, which has retained its new, 97 looking shine and looks no different from the day we received it over 30 years ago. It may be that the metal surfaces were treated in different ways during manufacture, 97, which I don't know, of course, 97, but I find it rather intriguing, to say the least. My prayer, composed and dictated by Aunt Gwen, she materialized at our sitting on 21st of July 1953, especially for the benefit of Mr. Britton Jones, 97, as explained after the poem. In the long and silent watches of the dark and dreary night, my soul cries out in anguish to the God of love and light. Send down thy holy angels in this my darkest hour, that they may give me light and hope and give my soul the power to rise above the sordidness of earthly cares and strife, that I may look to brighter things in that eternal life -97, where love is crowned with happiness, where all is fair and bright, where flowers bloom with sweet perfume and where there is no night. My soul arises unafraid, my night of sorrow o'er, O God of love, thou leadest me towards that heavenly shore. My heart cries out with thanks to thee for all thy loving care, into thy hands O Lord I come, 97, thou answerest now my prayer. A few weeks previously Mr. Jones had been talking to Aunt Ig about his personal feelings. He had told her there were many times when he felt that life on earth held little interest for him now. He had been used to an extremely busy life, but his medical activities had ceased many years ago. This frustration caused by his inactivity and failing health meant that his still very alert mind was constantly seeking answers to his ever, 97, present problem, 97, especially at night when he was unable to sleep. He commented that his usefulness here was finished and he was looking forward to joining her and his many friends in the spirit world to start a new life. Aunt Ig, in her inimitable quiet manner, explained to him that he would join them when the time was right and his spirit was ready to make the transition. She added that patience was truly a virtue, and as he readily agreed, it was never one of his strong points. Now was the time for him to try to understand and learn. He said he would try his best not to get too depressed, and Aunt Ig promised they would help him as much as possible, 97, but there was still much he himself needed to do. We must live our own lives to form our own individual characters, and they were always ready to help and guide us in times of need, 97, but the final decisions were always in our own hands. It was a few weeks after this conversation that Aunt Ig materialized, as usual, sat down on a chair in front of the cabinet curtain and dictated this poem. In the fairly bright red light I was able to write it down as she dictated it. She told Mr. Jones it was specially for him, hoped it would help him, and felt that it probably epitomized his feelings at those certain times which she had shared with him in his home on a number of occasions since their conversation. He was most grateful and thanked her very much. I gave him a typed copy a few days later, and I am sure it did help him. He became a much more relaxed and calmer man during the few months before he joined his friends in the spirit world later that year, aged 76 years. Apports, telekinesis, spirit writing, spirit lights. My notebooks show that from our second sitting on 27th of April 1946, we had regular evidence of these types of phenomena. Hardly a Saturday passed without some brief reference to them. In the first 6 months we had received over 60 apports, and there were numerous instances of the other types of phenomena. Detailed lists can be very boring, so here are just a few of those early happenings which not only amazed and pleased us, but made us realize that we were entering an entirely new world of physical phenomena as far as we were all concerned. It was exciting and thrilling, but we were never self-deceptive and always kept our feet firmly on the ground. Apports, from the French apporter, 97, to bring. These are normal material things which are either brought into or taken out of the circle room without human contact. We understand from our spirit helpers that they usually dematerialize the article, bring it through the structure of the room and then rematerialize it in the room. Occasionally they would dematerialize the wall or woodwork and bring in the article as it was. Such apported articles remained in the room after the sitting finished and should not be confused with ectoplasmic materializations which were in the room only during the period of sitting whilst the ectoplasm was emanating from the medium. Amongst those early apports were 97 Canadian 5-cent piece, 1889, an old penny from a box of coins I kept at home, a pair of cuff links from the home of one of the sitters, many flowers including a sprig of white blossom, our very first apport during our third sitting, lily of the valley, roses, tulips, carnations, asters, chrysanthemums, marguerites, dahlias, gaillardia and others. But there were two particularly interesting apports in those early days, 97-95 at that time, immediately after the end of the war, luminous paint was just not obtainable. I remembered that I had had an old wristwatch with luminous figures on the face which I thought might still be in a drawer at my parents' house. Mam spent quite a lot of time searching, but told us before our ninth sitting on 29th June that she had been unsuccessful. Imagine our amazement when we put on the room light at the end of the sitting, there on the top of the clock on the mantel shelf was my watch. Our spirit friends had obviously known exactly where it was. 95 At the end of the 11th sitting there, lying on the hearth, was a cutting from a type of scented bush called sow ovenwood. Mrs. Hildred could hardly believe it. Only 3 hours earlier she had been at home talking to her sister and said she wanted a piece for transplanting. Sam Hildred told us he had overheard the conversation and thought he'd save her the trouble. Later, the fully materialized spirit people often brought apports and handed them personally to the thrilled recipients. Over the years we had many hundreds of apports of various kinds. Telekinesis, movement of material objects without human contact. Each week the trumpet, which was standing on a wooden board in the center of the circle, tapped in time to our singing. An ashtray was moved from the mantelpiece to elsewhere in the room, and many times the things on the mantelpiece were shifted around without our knowing it during the sitting. We only saw the changes when the light went on at the end of the sitting. A13/41B, brass bell in the form of a crinoline lady which Sid and Gladys kept on the mantelpiece, as seen in photos B and C, was frequently rung during the sittings by our spirit visitors. During the 10th sitting Sam Hildred removed his photograph from the mantelpiece and placed it gently on Gladys's knee, 97 all in complete darkness without any human contact. Spirit writing. We generally put a piece of paper on the fireplace hearth, together with a pencil, 97 always hoping that some spirit friend may be able to sign in. We were delighted that at the end of the 17th sitting we found a number of signatures on it, 97 Jack, 97 Agnes, 97 Mona, Gladys's sister in spirit, 97 Ivy, Doris's sister in spirit, and a rough circle which we understood was Sunrise's sign. I still have that sheet of paper with the signatures on it and the more followed in later weeks. Sam Hildred was always a joker and decided to be different. He told us, through the trumpet, that he had signed his name but we would have to look for it. After the light went on at the end of the sitting it took us some considerable time before we finally found it, 97 written on the front of the tiled fireplace, down at the bottom right-hand corner. One other most intriguing piece of writing a few weeks later simply said, 97 not blind now. We made inquiries from Aunt Egg the following week and were told it had been written by a very dear friend of my mam and dad, Mr. Cal Bew. He had passed over many years previously, 97, but when living on the earth he was totally blind. He was always a bright and forceful personality and was obviously no different in the spirit world, 97, except that he was not blind now. Spirit lights. My notes for sitting number 26 on 26th of October 1946 show that we had four spirit lights at about 1 minute intervals, each lasting for 2 or 3 seconds. Before the trumpet phenomena began. They were about 1 inch in diameter and appeared in the area in front of the fireplace. As we developed, we had many more instances of such type of lights, much brighter than the first four. Often two or three would be seen at the same time, and they would remain for 8 or 9 seconds. We were told that they were in fact the incandescent ends of ectoplasmic rods which were emanating from the medium. About a year later, on the 22nd of November 1947, we were startled by a number of very bright flashes of spirit lights, 97 completely different from the earlier type which had ceased some months ago. Each flash lit up the whole room, very similar to a camera flashlight, 97, but I can assure you there was no such equipment in that room. A few came before the trumpet phenomena, with more coming from behind the cabinet curtain during the materialization. They were of such intensity that even with only the 15-inch gap at the top, the entire room was illuminated. We were told that Gladys's brother in spirit, Douglas, was the technician responsible for these particular spirit lights. For weeks later, on 20th December, as Antic was drawing back the cabinet curtain to step into the room for her weekly chat, her face was lit up by two bright lights from behind the curtain. From this you will understand that these lights were under the complete control of our spirit helpers and therefore not dangerous to the medium, 97, unlike any unexpected bright light used by anyone sitting in the circle, which is extremely dangerous. As I have said, these are but a very few instances of the regular weekly happenings we were so privileged to witness. I trust you have found them interesting and perhaps thought-provoking. More poems found in my mother's papers after her passing to the spirit world. No funeral gloom, my dears, when I am gone, semicolon corpse gazing, tears, black raiment, graveyard grimness, semicolon think of me as withdrawn into the dimness, comma 97 yours still, 97 you mine, remember all the best of our past moments, 97 and forget the rest. Cremate my body then, my dears, when I am gone, think of my soul in realms supernal, returning oft to earth from the eternal, semicolon yours still, 97 you mine, united still in love till God shall call you to, my dears, 97 above. There's never a night goes by but someone saying a prayer that the one they dearly love will be helped their pain to bear, semicolon that the morning will bring strength, and hope dispel all fears, semicolon this prayer is being said tonight by a thousand hearts in tears. There's never a morning breaks but some of our hopes come true, semicolon maybe it's turned out this way for the one you love, 97 and you dot but remember those who still weep and whose prayers have seemed in vain dot then out of your thankful heart say the prayer you prayed, 97 again. Healing aspects. Our Saturday night home circle was always a healing center for those in need, and its value as such was illustrated in so many ways for so many different people. Perhaps one of the more significant aspects was the healing given to my mother, our medium. I was frequently asked whether the physical phenomena had any ill effect on the medium's health. I was delighted to assure them that certainly in my mother's case the reverse was in fact true. Mother had her first operation for breast cancer in 1942, and by the time we started our home circle in April 1946, the use of her left arm was seriously impaired by the swollen lymphatic glands. There was a constant nagging pain and she was unable to raise the arm above waist high, 97, but her inherent cheerfulness and resolution kept it all very low profile. By the mid-1950s we had been sitting for 7/8 years and she had been operated upon numerous times. Each time the consulting surgeon commented on her remarkable powers of recuperation and on one particular occasion added, with some apparent bewilderment, "Someone else seems to be doing you more good than we are." Little did he know the real truth of his comments. Fortunately, today's medical profession is not so bigoted and many doctors are not averse to recommending alternative medicine, including spirit healing. One particularly intriguing aspect of the healing given to mother during our sittings was demonstrated to us when sunrise was controlling her, 97 usually at the end of a trumpet voice phenomena, 97 before she moved on to the chair behind the cabinet curtain ready for the materialization phenomena. Sunrise would stand her up and then tell us he would help the medium's arm. With no more ado he would immediately raise mother's left arm vertically above her head, 97, something she had been unable to do for many years. 97, and then start swinging it round and round like a propeller. After 3 or 4 minutes of this rapid exercise, he would bring the arm to rest down by her side, stand for a moment or two, and then walk her a few steps to the chair in the cabinet and sit her down. Ma'am, being in deep trance, was completely unaware of this arm swinging, the same as she was unaware of all the physical phenomena that occurred. 97, but we always told her about it while having our cup of tea afterwards. She was always amazed, and try as hard as she could, was never able to raise it above her waist. Maine's normal sleep pattern was very irregular because of the ever-present nagging pains, but after our sittings on Saturday evenings, she always enjoyed 4 to 5 hours solid sleep that night. If the physical phenomena took any energy out of her, 97, as some people seem to think, 97, then her spirit guides and healers replaced it, 97, with added beneficial effects. In addition to our Saturday evening sittings, we also held a healing circle in our own home during the week. Mother often attended, purely as a patient, and received further healing from another of our members, a staunch friend, Mr. Wilf Waite. We were told that, in general, the same team of spirit helpers was at both circles, and it was encouraging to know that the power needed to heal others was closely linked with the power we gave for the physical phenomena on Saturday evenings. In effect, 97, the more we gave, 97, the more we received, 97, the more to be able to help others. An ectoplasmic feather from sunrise. As previously explained, ectoplasm is a material produced by the spirit chemists, which emanates from the medium's body and is at all times connected to the medium. This is extremely important, and any experiments involving ectoplasm must have the approval of the spirit helpers. Their cooperation is essential. Otherwise, the medium could be in great danger. After Mr. Jones had satisfied his medical interest by taking the pulse of Aunt Egg's materialized body in December 1946, we asked Aunt Egg whether it might be possible to have a specimen piece of ectoplasm, 97, perhaps by cutting a piece from her robes which always clothed her body. See photograph B. She told us it should be all right, but would let us know later when everything had been arranged to protect our minutes apostrophe, as she always called her sister, the medium. This experiment was actually carried out on 2 occasions in May 1947. See pieces of ectoplasm cut from Aunt Egg's robes, 97. But a month earlier, in April, Sunrise had told us he would materialize and bring with him an ectoplasmic feather. He asked that we should have a suitable size jar with a little water in the bottom ready for the feather, 97. So, in case of accidents, we actually had 2 slightly different sized jars, each with a screw on lid and a little water in the bottom. They were stood on the mantel shelf ready for use during the sitting. That evening, 26th April, we had some excellent trumpet voice phenomena, including Sam Hildred, who stayed for almost 10 minutes chatting in his own inimitable style. His widow was now a regular sitter with us, and she never had any doubts that the spirit person she heard and regularly conversed with was her husband, 97, and he seldom missed a week, even if it was for only a few moments. On this particular evening, he told her he had brought her 5 carnations, which she would find in the room at the close of the sitting, as a present for their wedding anniversary that weekend, 97, and they were certainly there as he had promised. After the trumpet phenomena, our materialization phenomena followed in the usual red light, which by now was bright enough to see the materialized forms quite distinctly. Mother's mediumship had developed considerably over the 12 months. After 2 spirit people had materialized and spoken to us, Sunrise then spoke to us from behind the cabinet curtain using direct voice, that is, using an ectoplasmic voice box but without the trumpet. He said he was going to build, but as he had never done this before, it would take a lot of power, and Aunt Egg would come immediately after him to bring the feather he had promised. He also said that there was not quite enough liquid in the jars, but not to bother, as the spirit chemists would attend to that. Within 2 or 3 minutes, the curtain was drawn back by this tallish figure, complete with a full feathered headdress. He stayed for about 2 minutes and then stepped back behind the curtain, 97, a very moving experience for all of us to actually meet our circle leader on the spirit side face to face. Within another couple of minutes, Aunt Tig stepped forward from the cabinet in her usual friendly manner. We clearly saw that she was holding not one feather, but two feathers. She explained that one of them was an apport that is a material feather from somewhere outside the circle room, and she placed it on the mantel shelf alongside her.